Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is the reading of God's word. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may hear your word and let our faith grow and we'll be more like your son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us meet our Lord and have fellowship with him. And through your words, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. The heavenly realities that is already ours to possess and enjoy, so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. O Father, receive all the glory. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly. All of us will hear and believe and obey your word. We ask that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I said last week when we were looking at the praise of Elizabeth that today we are going to look at Mary's praise in verses 46 to 55. If you remember what I said, but usually you don't remember. I said that, but let us look at an important topic which we have looked at numerous times before, but I believe it will benefit us a lot to hear it yet again. And we will look at that topic in terms of verse 26, which we just read. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. And in the beginning part of this sermon, we're going to talk about a lot of details and I might lose you, and especially in this weather. So please pay attention. But latter half, I think I will be able to grab you. We have established from previous sermons that Elizabeth and her husband, Zacharias, represent the people of the Old Testament, and Mary represents the people of the New Testament. And those men, this is worship, so take off your hat during worship, please. Which means we are able to see our present spiritual reality from Mary. So when we look at Mary in this story and how she lives, because she represents the people of God in the New Testament, we could learn then how we are to live. What is our reality in Christ? If we summarize what we have looked at so far, then we are able to say that Mary is a cousin of Elizabeth. Chapter 1, verse 36, our translation that I read, NASB version, has your relative, Elizabeth. But the other translation, like many other translations, it says your cousin, Elizabeth. And chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that Elizabeth is from the daughters of Aaron. Thus, it is not unreasonable to say that Mary is also from the daughters of Aaron, that she is from the tribe of Levite. But Romans chapter 1 verse 3 says Jesus was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, because our Lord Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. When it says that he was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, it might be referring to the line of Mary. However, it might be also referring to Joseph, because legally Joseph is his father, even though he's not biological father. Some biblical scholars see that Elizabeth's family is from Mary's mother's side, so that They believe Mary's father is from the tribe of Judah. They say, I'm already losing you. No one is able to know it for sure. Some biblical scholars, because there are many differences in genealogy of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew and the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the book of Luke. If you compare those two, you're going to be surprised. There's so many differences, which we will do when we go to chapter 3. Because of these differences, then, some people believe that genealogy in Matthew is in the line of Joseph, whereas the genealogy of Luke is in the line of Mary. If that is true, then Mary is descendant of David. But there are some problems in seeing that way, and we'll talk about all this later. So before I lose many of you, I will say that we will deal with these issues in more detail when we are looking at the genealogy in chapter 3. Now, if Mary is a descendant of Levi, then she belongs to a tribe that was not given the land. You remember in the Old Testament, the tribe of Levites, they did not inherit the land. Numbers chapter 18, verse 23, only the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. So they were priest tribe, right? So they served God, and they did not receive any inheritance. No land, meaning no land is given to the Levites. Thus, in one sense, even after the Israelites came into the promised land, the Levites lived as a sojourners, as a travelers, because they didn't possess any land. And even if Mary is a descendant of Judah, because we really don't know if she is the descendant of Levites or descendant of Judah, but in either case, even if she is descendant of Levites, then she doesn't have any land. Now, if Mary is descendant of Judah, as we see in our verse today, living in a city in Galilee called Nazareth also witnesses the reality of the sojourners. Why? Because Galilee is not in the land that was given to the tribe of Judah. Later, we will see that both Joseph and Mary are living in Nazareth in Galilee. We do not know precisely how they came into that city, but in Luke chapter 1, it is very clear that Mary is engaged with Joseph and living in Nazareth in Galilee. We do not know where Joseph lived at this time, but Matthew chapter 1 tells us that after Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him about Mary being conceived by the work of the Holy Spirit. And just as the angel of the Lord commanded Joseph, Joseph brought Mary to his house. And we do not clearly know where his house was at that time. I'm getting to the point, I know. And now, Luke chapter 2 verse 1 says, now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Thus everyone had to go to their birthplace. In Luke chapter 2 verse 4 says, Joseph also went up from Galilee from the city of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. So that's why Joseph and Mary, they went to Bethlehem. That's why they're in that city Jesus was born. Now, thus from all this, then we are able to conclude that both Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth in Galilee at this time of chapter 1. And from Nazareth, then they went to Bethlehem. Now, we have looked all that just to say that both Joseph and Mary, as they lived their lives here on earth, lived away from their hometowns. That was Elizabeth, that was Mary's reality, that she was living away from her hometown. And we see, as we see Mary, our realities, our spiritual reality. We too are living away from our home. And this is our topic, and you must understand this. Otherwise, you might not understand truly what Christian life is all about. We live away from our home. And when we say our home, we are not talking about our earthly homes. As we live our lives in this world, we live as strangers and aliens in this world because our true home is heaven. And now you might not think about heaven that much. Maybe because you don't understand that that is your home as a Christian. And once you have that understanding, maybe you will think about heaven more. And that is what I desire from you as you hear this sermon today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have an opportunity to return. If they were thinking about earthly hometown, then they could just go back. But, verse 16, as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. We do the same. We too seek our own country as a Christian. But not our earthly country. Our earthly home country does not have much meaning to us anymore. Even if we go back there, we will still live as the strangers and aliens because our true home is a heavenly home. The Bible says that we desire a better country that is a heavenly one. And this is the reality of Christian. And if you don't fit this description as a Christian, you need to think very hard. How come I don't fit the description of Christian in the Bible? Well, Bible is not wrong, so you must be. Something wrong with you. This world is not everything to us. See, if this world is everything, I don't think I'd be standing here before you doing this. Because if this is everything, then I need to have it. If there's no heaven, there's no God, then this is it. Oh, then I will do whatever it takes to have it. Think about it. We're a very reasonable person as a Christian. The reason that I'm willing to forsake the world and hold on to what I believe is because there's God and because there's the eternal world. But so many Christians, they live their lives as if there is no heaven. They live as if this world is everything to them. But see, Christians that appears in the Bible, they did not live like that. See, you and I, we have a better country, our eternal home. And we live to witness that this world is not everything, that there is a better world. And how can we show that? How can we witness that? Hebrews 11, verse 9 and 10. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13b, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even after they arriving in the promised land, rather than to build a permanent place, they live in tents. They were very rich people at that time. They had every resources to build big houses to settle down. But the Bible tells us that even after arriving in the promised land, they lived as if they were living in a foreign land. As the travelers, they live in tents. Why? To show people around them that they're desiring a better country, a heavenly one. They live as if they had home to go back to. And the reason, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10, they were looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do you understand? Christians, they desired their eternal heavenly home. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 14, here on earth, we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Nothing in this world is forever. Even your lovely home and lovely city, that's not forever. But we are seeking the city which is to come. When Jesus comes back, that city will be revealed to us. It will be visible to us. The glorious city. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and we all claim to be, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And it's not just a good saying, brothers and sisters. It is God's word that you must obey. When God says to set your mind on things above, that's what you have to do. Unless you don't care about obeying God. This is not an option. This is a command from God. We must obey. See, this is the content of the life of true Christian. This is the answer to the question, how does a true Christian live here on earth? We live as an aliens seeking heaven to go back to our home country, heavenly country. Do you have to remember, you have to remember that this world is not eternal. There will be an end to this world. But you and I belong to the eternal world. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. We are the citizens of God's kingdom. Thus, even as we live our lives here on earth, we seek His kingdom. We seek the King of that kingdom, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We must live our lives in terms of desiring and seeking heaven. Every day we say goodbye to this world. And one day that goodbye will be the last one. Every single day we say goodbye. Because we want to go home. Not that, you know, we want to kill ourselves and, you know, suicide is sin, as you know. God will call us in His time. Until that day, we will live and do our best to serve Him. But we desire to go home. Because there's where my Lord is. Do you miss Jesus Christ? Do you long to see Him face to face? Do you truly love Him? This is why Christianity became a joke to this world. Because we say, well, we love you, Jesus, and when they look at us, how we live and what we do, there's no love for Christ. So it's a joke. But it's not a joke. But we make it like that. You and I, we already possess our God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. We do not put our hope in this world. We do not put our love on this world. No. We find all our satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Psalm 23, Psalm verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Because He is my shepherd, we are completely satisfied. This is the confession of a Christian. Again, if you do not fit that description, there's something wrong. And I'm not saying you're going to be like that perfectly, but at least a little glimpse of that has to be in you. Psalm 16, verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Again, the confession of a Christian. Where is your pleasure? We yearn to go back to our home because there we will meet our lovely people that are so close to our hearts. Our family, the true family, eternal family, and our friends. We long to go to heaven because there we will meet our Lord Jesus Christ face to face eternally. You know, when you are in love, I don't have to explain to you. Seeing that person that you say you love, that you truly love, as soon as you see that person, all your worries are gone. It's just pleasure to be with that person. That's why you go, what? Time goes so fast because, man, you didn't do much yet. And yet you were with that person and you realize, well, it's already time to go home. No, because it's just so much pleasure just to be around with that person. Do you love Jesus Christ? Or is that all joke to you? It's something that you just say, but your heart never... See, until that day when we see Him face to face, we live as strangers and aliens in this world. And we do our best to witness that we do not belong to this world. We do our best to witness that we are the citizens of heaven. And this is our present reality in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he's writing to Christians. To those who reside as aliens scattered throughout all these city names, who are chosen according to the full knowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. He's writing to Christians and says, to those who reside as aliens. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. This is how God sees you, strangers and aliens in this world. And that's exactly who you are. We do not belong to this world. We are not seeking the approval of this world. We really don't care what the world says about us. I don't know why so many Christians, they just want approval from the world. So they will do things so the world will be pleased with that person. Why? Luke chapter 6 verse 25, Woe to you when all men speaks well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in that same way. If everybody likes you, then be careful, the Bible says. Because if you truly live like a Christian, if you truly say the things that Bible says, I guarantee it, there will be so many enemies that you will make. And you know it too. But you pretend. You don't say much. Because you don't want to get into trouble. I get it. I'm a coward like that too. But there will be a time when you need to say what you truly believe and who you are. And when that happens, oh, enemies all around. James chapter 4 verse 4, You adulteresses, do not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Do you hear that? Did you hear that? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James chapter 4, verse 4. I'm not making this up, you guys. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says to you. You got to understand what is your purpose as you live your life as a Christian here. It's not success in this world or approval of this world. No, we're here to please God, to obey Him. And I don't say this to you because I do this and you don't. No, I'm just a sinner, just like I mean, probably worse than you because I live longer. Because every day that we live, one more day, we will sin more. Isn't that the truth? So because I live longer than most of you, I'm probably sinning much more than you. But I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. And you need to hear what God says to you. Brothers and sisters, this world is not worthy of us. You know, like when you look at old Korean drama, you know, those historical drama. Let's say the king came out to some rural place and then king wants to come into your dinky house. And you say, no. Because you're so important, you're so precious. And this is not worthy of you. You cannot come into this dinky house. Just like this whole world is not worthy of us. That's why God provided us the other world. Far better than this world ever could be. If you believe what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 38. Christians are called of whom the world was not worthy. And right before that, Hebrews, you know, author of Hebrews lists all the people, Christians, who murdered, you know, martyred, who died. And he says, of whom the world was not worthy. This world is not worthy for us to settle here forever. We witness that we possess heaven, by showing our satisfaction in the law of this world. The sinful world cannot be satisfied with the law of this world. But Jesus Christ, that's exactly what He did. He not only came to the world, but He went to the lowest of this world. Because He wanted to show that He is a stranger to this world. You and I are not embarrassed about being poor in this world. Well, I'm not. Because that's not final judgment. Oh, meet me in about 50 more years. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but meet me after I die and I go to heaven. You meet me there, I show you how rich I am. But just because I cannot show you right now, am I lying to you? And they're showing this worldly treasures and saying to me how rich they are, and I have to laugh. Because they're not rich. And their richness is temporary. In Genesis chapter 47, verse 9, Jacob says to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. Not have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the day of their sojourning." Jacob describes his life as a sojourning and says, few and unpleasant have been the years of his life. Is he embarrassed about saying this? No. He just says, that's how my life is. In terms of this world, I lived here 60 years and I have nothing to show you. Nothing that would impress this world. I haven't done anything to impress this world. Am I embarrassed? Well, only in terms of that I could do a little bit more than my Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not embarrassed. Because if I'm truly embarrassed about being poor here, then I'm testifying to everybody, that I'm showing everybody that heaven is a lie. Do you live like that? That because you're seeking out to possess this world so much that by doing that, you show that heaven that you say you believe is a lie. That you don't really believe you're rich. Because it's not true to you. How can we live like that as a Christian? Oh, brothers and sisters, at least you and I, we need to show the world that what the Bible says is really true. Yes. As we live here on earth, we live as the people who are away from home, as the travelers. Why? Because our home is heaven. This world is not comfortable for us. And that's good. God makes this world so uncomfortable to me, and that's when I think about heaven. Because if I enjoy myself so much in this world, I will forget heaven. God forbid. So I thank Him for all those troubles and hard times in my life. Because when you look back, that's the time that you think about God and heaven. And if those kind of situations help me to focus on God, I welcome it. With fear. Yeah, I have to admit that there's a fear. Oh, what if he say, okay, you wanted it. Yeah, but I also believe that when that comes, then he will give me grace that will match it. But yeah, I'm fearful there, you know, in holy fear, but I still welcome it. Brothers and sisters, there is no true rest in this world. You know, we feel so awkward here. Even in my conversation with my non-Christian friends, I feel so awkward because we're not at the same wavelength. That's why I enjoy my fellowship with you. I don't have to explain every single sentence that I make. I have to explain to them why I say it like that. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. It's like, you know, wearing shoes and pants and shirts that is not your size. It's just not comfortable. So awkward in this world. That's what Christian is in this world. Brothers and sisters, you're not going to hear this kind of stuff that many times. But you will hear it here. Because that's what I see in the Bible. And it's okay. It's okay to feel uncomfortable as a Christian. You go to your school and, you know, your teacher talks about a monkey becoming a man. And you say, no, that's not true. But you're afraid to say anything. You don't want to get in trouble. And you feel so out of place. It's okay. Think about Jesus Christ. Without any sin, he had to dwell in this sinful world. It's like, I don't know, fish coming out of water. You pick up fish in the water and throw in the sand. And that fish, it's not his environment. It's just so painful. And that's how Christian is in this world. This is not our environment. We're not meant to live here. We are recreated to live in heaven forever. It's okay, Christians. That's why, you know, Christians telling me, my best friend is non-Christian. I really don't understand what that means. I truly don't understand. I have said this many times before. What is seen will be unseen. What is built will be destroyed. And what has begun will end. Everything in this world will be like that. Only heaven is forever. You and I, we do not have any lingering attachment for this world. Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, you cannot lie about this. Where your treasure is, if your treasure is in this world, then your heart will be in this world. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be in heaven. That's why God says, what? Pile up your treasure in heaven. Oh, brothers and sisters, we dare not sell our heavenly citizenship just to have an earthly meal, earthly soup like Esau. Esau, he sold his citizenship just to have that food. Brothers and sisters, don't be like Esau. We will not sell our citizenship of heaven just to gain some of these earthly things. Meaning that we are not going to compromise the biblical truth just to gain worldly things. Don't you think that Jesus Christ is the only one who must have all our hearts and love? So we must be kicking and screaming as we see our love robbed by the world. And when your heart goes to the worldly things, when your heart goes to world, where's your screaming and kicking? Brothers and sisters, let's truly believe what the Bible tells us. The life of sojourner. Why then? Because this is the life of Jesus Christ. And our whole purpose is to be like Christ. He thoroughly lived the life of sojourner. As he lived his life here on earth, he did not even have a place to lay his head. Why? Because he did not belong to this world. We must remember that our life is a participation in his life. Jesus Christ, even in his mother's womb, his earthly mother's womb, he lived as a sojourner. Because he had to, even in his mother's womb, he had to run. He had to escape. And he will be born in a manger. And even as a little boy, he fled from the sinners who wanted to kill him. And that was how it was for him throughout his life. And his sojourning ended at the cross. But his final destination was not the cross, but heaven. The same is true for us. We are sojourning to heaven. We are sojourning to our home. We are sojourning to our eternal home. We are sojourning to Jesus Christ. And just give me one more minute, I'll end. In this world, that is our lives as Christians. We are the strangers and aliens in this world because we have not yet arrived in our heavenly home. Visibly. No matter where you live here on earth, you are a stranger and an alien. This is the reality of all Christians. And through the book of Luke, you and I will see the life of Jesus Christ, the life of the true sojourner. And in his life, we see our lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us go home. Again, I'm not saying let's all die today. No, no. Do your best at school. Do your best at job. Do your best out there. But always remember, we're going home. Every day, let us go a little closer to our home. And that's exactly what is happening every day. One day closer to your eternal home. That's what your life is. That's why we rejoice as days go by. One day closer to my home. And as we sojourn, let us rejoice. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, he welcomes us there. Let us go to him. A little close to him every single day. And one day, you will see him face to face. And when his eyes and your eyes meet, like I said, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. It clearly shows us what you have done and what you have accomplished for us. Oh Father, we thank you that our life here on earth is a life of sojourner. We're passing through. We have a place to go. And it is where our Lord Jesus Christ is. Eternal home, heavenly home. Oh Father, we long to see that day. Come quickly, Lord. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.